Welcome to Make a Baby with Hashimoto's, where we will chat all things Hashimoto's and baby making. I'm Chelsea, registered dietitian and spiritual healer. I'm also a Hashimoto's warrior and mom of one.
And I'm Morgan. I'm a registered nurse, fellow Hashimoto's warrior, and a new mom of one as well. And we're so excited to help guide you through this amazing journey. Let's make a baby.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Make a Baby with Hashimoto's. We are here, me and Morgan. We are ready to take on the day. We are talking all about your diet during pregnancy. Dun, dun, dun. A big kahuna of an episode. We have a lot to talk about, but also keep in mind, we're also going to add in a lot of personal tidbits. Mm-hmm. So if something we say doesn't relate to you, triggers you in any way or anything, we understand everyone's individual, and we just want to give you not only facts but tips, tricks that we've experienced, but also just what we've seen working with other women with Hashimoto's. So that's what this episode's going to be about, and let's dive in.
Yeah, I know we've received tons of, I've seen tons of questions is, should I be on an AIP when I want to get pregnant, when I'm trying, or while being pregnant? What diet should I do? And it's like, first of all, I guess I should say that the AIP stands for autoimmune protocol, and it's an elimination diet where you're basically eliminating foods that are going to cause like inflammation, and you're trying to find like what foods you're not reacting to, mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people who have Hashimoto's lean towards an AIP diet, or they try to stick to that. And, you know, if that works for you, that's fantastic. I know I tried an AIP diet, but I didn't strictly stick to it when I finished. I'm sorry.
You're and, good. Do you want to take a drink of water?
Yeah. I'm like choking over here.
Of course. Oh my goodness. This girl is like dedicated to the podcast episode.
Like, I'm going to get this out while I'm choking.
Anyway, I think we both have tried AIP before. Yeah. And in our history and in our life. And I feel like that's kind of at the point where we found each other. And AIP is a very strict elimination diet. Yeah. It's basically when you remove a very long list of foods from your diet, which without the mindset work and the mental work on your relationship with food is really hard to do. Mm-hmm. If you've been on any diet and it hasn't worked, it's hard because the mental piece is missing. But we see a lot, especially we get questions, but we also see it in a few of the support Facebook groups we're in, mm-hmm. like, oh, whether they had a miscarriage or they're struggling getting pregnant, or, you know, whatever stage of the trying to conceive process you're in, we've seen them say like, I'm going to try an AIP diet. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And for some people it works, and that's beautiful. And I think a lot of it has to do with inflammation inside of your body.
Yeah.
And that there's a lot of things that play a role in that. And I believe we have an episode about inflammation.
Yeah, we've talked about this, I believe.
Okay. Because inflammation can look very different for everyone, whether it's you bloat really easily, your labs are out of control, you're struggling with fertility, you're gaining weight rapidly. There's a lot that happens when inflammation is present in the body, and it throws everything off. Like, yeah. Just like, and this is where, this is almost like where stress comes into, because stress causes inflammation, which then causes all these issues. So a stressor on the body can look anything like a day-to-day, stressful situation, a traumatic experience. You grew up in a stressful household. Mm-hmm. It could look like you got it genetically. It could, right? Like, there's a lot that goes into this, and AIP has been shown to help reduce inflammation if followed to a T for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. However, it's supposed to be a temporary thing.
Yeah.
So during pregnancy, do we want to talk about during pregnancy, or do you want to talk about trying to conceive first?
I think let's talk about trying to conceive first, and then we can go into pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Cause I know, like you said, for us, we both had tried AIP, had been doing it prior to getting pregnant. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, when I was on an AIP diet, like I had serious relief from a lot of my symptoms when I was following an AIP diet, but it was challenging. Like it was hard to remove. Like, I mean, I feel like I had to completely go through our entire pantry and like our refrigerator and like things. I was trying new things, and like it basically gets down to like meat and vegetables is kind of how I felt like what it was. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't terrible. Like I didn't think it was awful, but I enjoy eating that types of things. And I, you know, for me, I had never done anything like that, but I feel like it taught me a lot about myself and like if I felt like that was right for me. But when I started reintroducing things, you know, you find out really quick what you're reacting to. Mm-hmm. And I think I just took tidbits of what I did during being on an AIP and kind of modified it to where I am today. And like how I eat foods today is I just try to incorporate more vegetables, more, you know, I think more protein was part of my issue when I met you. Is like, you were like, you're not eating enough protein. So like that was, you know, it was just like a learning scale for myself and like trying to figure out like, what does my diet need to like feel my best self?
Yeah.
And like doing strict AIP, I don't think was like it, like I felt good, but I just felt like I was restricting a lot of things. And I think, but that was what reduced a lot of my inflammation and probably helped me get pregnant when I did. Mm-hmm. But I didn't stick strictly to it. And I mean, it's more of a, I guess, intuitive eating is more of like what I did after my pregnancy. We'll get to the pregnancy part later. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think, like you said, if the mental factor is there and if you feel like you can handle a restrictive diet, then I don't think it's a bad thing to try.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, I think if it helps you reduce your inflammation and like your head's in the right mental space, like I think that's good. And if maybe it's a practitioner or someone guiding you through the AIP diet, then I think that that's maybe an ideal situation. But I think kind of going in blind and like having no idea how to navigate eliminating things, that is going to make it extremely difficult, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just, I'm in this new phase mm-hmm. of life where anything that tells you you have to restrict anything,
yeah,
I'm like, nope, like that's a no-go. I don't want it in my energy. I'm just not about that anymore. I used to be though. I've done every diet. In fact, right before I got pregnant, I was dabbling with AIP. And all I'm like telling the truth here. I was just diagnosed with PCOS. My insulin was ridiculously high. My testosterone was high. My antibodies were high. My thyroid levels were high. And keep in mind, I'm like the Hashimoto's queen on Instagram. Like no one can know I'm sick. And so that's stressful in and of itself. And now that I'm not that anymore, it's nice to come out and say that. Like it was really hard putting up a facade, like everything's okay when inside it wasn't. So yeah. I was trying to be sneaky about, I went back to my diet mentality at that point and said, I'm just going to do AIP. And I did it for a month and I had full intentions of staying with it during pregnancy, because I did feel good. Was I really bored and cried a lot? Yeah. I cried to Bobby a lot. I did find new like meals that I actually enjoy and still eat to this day, but it was not something I enjoyed. And the only reason I thought, oh, I could do this during pregnancy was because my labs were getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I was not expecting to get pregnant as fast as I did, but I was on a little AIP bout, and I don't want to call it a moment of weakness, but it definitely was, I was not in the right place and it was not the right time. Did it help? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It helped, but I was literally eating chicken, carrots, and sweet potatoes. And that's it. Like, and then coconut yogurt. And I'm pretty sure
boring. Yeah. Yeah.
That was it. And I hated it.
I feel like there's, I want to say that there's nothing like easy with it. I feel like everything you have to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that was a little bit of a challenge for me because we like to eat out every now and then. And so for us, and like Casey was fully supportive and on board and like, he'll eat whatever, he doesn't care. But like cooking every meal and like making sure I had stuff prepped to take with me to work mm-hmm. when I was working a 12-hour shift. Like that's a breakfast, lunch, snacks, sometimes a dinner because I'm not getting home till 8 p.m. at night. Ugh. And it's just a lot of prepping in my opinion. Yeah. And that I don't miss that either. So I think that was something I struggled with when I was doing AIPs. I just felt like, you know, where if I wanted to go out and eat somewhere,
yeah,
it's hard to find stuff.
There's no freedom.
Yeah, there is no freedom.
You literally have to plan
with it. Very disciplined.
And I just don't think a healthy relationship with food needs to be extremely disciplined.
Yeah, agreed.
So if you asked Chelsea 3 years ago, should I be AIP? My answer would have been, yeah. It's the scientifically proven thing, yada, yada, yada. If you asked Chelsea a year ago, she'd say yes, even though, she'd say no, don't do it, even though she was doing it because life's hard. And if you ask Chelsea right now, I would say, hey, I was going to curse, hell no. H-E double hockeys, I'm working on not cursing because I'm like, oh my God, Ellie's first word's going to be the F-bomb. And I feel it in my bones really bad. But anyway, I'm trying. And I can't promise anything because I like it, but
yeah.
I'll work on it. I would say no. I would say I don't think it's necessary. Do I think that lowering inflammation is really important, especially if you're struggling with Hashimoto's, but also infertility?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got to lower inflammation. But we do not. You do not, let me repeat that, you do not have to eliminate all of these foods to lower your inflammation.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to find what works for your body. Does that look like eventually eliminating or experimenting with foods? It could, but not right away.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stress and the inflammation is coming from your mindset. Is coming from your lifestyle mm-hmm. choices, not necessarily just your diet.
Yeah.
But it takes the longest to work on, mm-hmm. which is why everyone goes right for the diet and then feel like they fell off the bandwagon, which is a term that was invented by the diet industry. The multi-bajillion dollar diet industry came up with this term to keep you on a diet. And it's just not necessary. Could it help you? Sure. If you feel prepared and ready and that's something you want to do and you feel better while you're doing it or whatever the situation yeah. is, go for it, girlfriend, have a blast. Ooh, I just broke that. I need like a fidget thingy. And I'm like playing with crystals. Anyway.
Love it. Don't break your crystals.
Yeah, I know. No, I dropped the thing that was wrapped around the crystal.
Oh.
Anyway, I just don't see the need
mm-hmm.
to remove all those things unless you know for sure that like peppers bother your stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
Then go for it. You don't need to eat them. There's plenty of other food.
Things. Yes.
Right. And I think going into it with that mindset, like I don't like mushrooms. You're not going to catch me eating a mushroom at this point in my life. Okay. Like I know there's benefits. They're fine in drinks all powdered up, but I am not going to sit there and eat mushrooms. I won't do it. I also don't really like roasted red peppers.
Mm-hmm.
I like raw red peppers, but roasted red pepper, the skin, I don't like the texture. I ain't eating it because I don't need it. there's other ways to get those vitamins and nutrients. And I think that mindset going into it as something almost like the way we teach it in THM is called worth it foods. And I don't mean it in a diet mentality. What we mean it is like, what do you actually enjoy eating and what's worth it for you to like keep in your life? Like, I love potatoes. I will eat potatoes almost every day. In AIP, I couldn't eat white potatoes, but guess what? I love potatoes and they love me. So, ha.
And so, like, yeah. And that's just it. Like, if it makes you feel good, there's no need to take it out of your diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yes,
I know what you mean.
There's no need to take it out of your diet. If you feel good when you're eating it, and I'm not saying like it gives you satisfaction, like that's part of it. But if it's like your body feels fine after eating it, eat it. That's great, you know?
Let's talk about what we mean by if your body feels fine. Because a lot of us live with chronic issues that are like normal. I'm saying that with quotation marks, but they're not supposed to have them.
Yeah. So what I mean by that, like usually I can tell if I eat something that doesn't agree with me almost immediately, my hands, my fingers particularly will start to swell.
Mm-hmm.
Like they will feel very puffy and like tight. I've had it to where like my stomach literally feels like there is a rock in my stomach. And like, a lot of times I've had a headache come on like very quickly after eating. I my belly feels bloated or like distended. Like those are signs to me that I go, okay, like something I ate is not agreeing with me.
Yeah.
Like those are like my four signs that I'm like, whatever I ate, my body's not happy about.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for me, it's listening to like those signs. And like when I was doing AIP and like reintroducing things, that's what I started. That's what I noticed went away when I was in AIP. But when I started to reintroduce things and find out, okay, you know, I am reactive to gluten. Like my body just doesn't agree with gluten. Mm-hmm. Those were like the symptoms that showed up after eating it.
Right.
Yeah. And like my body just reacts to gluten. It does. So usually like I don't eat gluten normally anymore because I just don't feel good when I eat it. But like dairy, well, I'll react to dairy, and I'll be honest, like I still eat dairy sometimes. Like mm-hmm. It's okay.
Me too.
I still enjoy dairy, but I do notice those symptoms show up when I eat dairy.
Yeah. And I definitely find that it depends on the type of dairy too.
Yes.
Not that I'm discriminating against any at the moment, but I'm just saying it definitely does play a factor. But my symptoms, I just get disgustingly full, like tired, uncomfortable. Like I can't think straight. Like I'm just like, oh, I don't. Like I'm so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then usually after that, it's either a migraine, or like indigestion or upset stomach, diarrhea. What's the song? The Pepto-Bismol thing. literally, I should probably try that. Do they make a clean version without the pink? Anyway, yeah. So I can tell now as someone who has had chronic inflammation their whole life and has had been overweight their whole life, feeling bloated is not an I'm constantly bloated. It's like the norm for me. I don't notice when I'm not bloated. And I don't notice when I am bloated, but what I try to do, and this has been really helpful with experimenting with foods and finding what works for me and what my worth it foods even are, is do I feel, I like to check in with myself during and after meals. So that's a quick 2 second, like, hey, how did that make me feel? How are you feeling? Are you full? Are you hungry? Like where you at? And this doesn't happen every day, every time, trust me. it's rare, but it does happen where I'm like, ooh, definitely feeling a little uncomfortable. All right. What are we eating?
Yeah.
All right. That has a lot of soy in it. And you know, your body does not do good with soy. And that's just something my body doesn't do good with. All right. Well, that's probably why you're very uncomfortable. You're feeling more bloated than usual. You're constipated. You're shitting your pants, like whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. So those are my main ones that I get when I eat something my body doesn't like.
But like thinking back to those symptoms when you were like, tell me what those are. I think like when I was first diagnosed with Hashimoto's, like I didn't even realize how inflamed I was until the inflammation started to come down.
Yeah.
I just thought that was like
normal.
I thought it was the weight gain. And I don't know. I just thought this is just being an adult, I guess. I don't know. Being still as an adult. So sad. Like to think back to that. Like, ugh. But I had no idea that those were like those could go away and that they could be triggered by foods and, you know, my body could be affected by that. So.
Yeah, for sure. It's, and this is why, I mean, there's pros and cons to any diet out there.
Yeah.
But I just, I'm going to say it. I don't think it's necessary to do to become pregnant.
Like you said, there's so many other things as far as your mindset and your lifestyle that you could start changing first and see improvements in those symptoms before strictly going to changing your diet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what I will say is that while when I did find out I got pregnant, I did a lot of Googling. Are we shocked? I know. I'm not. On like how to be AIP during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I am ready. I'll allow myself to have rice with bone broth. But besides that, that's it. Like I was ready to do it. And that was cut off real quick with morning sickness and not being able to cook. And like all I could eat was cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had to like quickly give myself a lot of grace because I was back in that disordered thinking, but also like adapt because in, like,
survival mode. I feel like you were miserable. I know.
It was hard. And like I'll never forget the fridge smelled to me. Anytime I opened the fridge, it made me nauseous. I literally had to hold my breath to get food out of the fridge my whole pregnancy. And we cleaned that thing so much. And Bobby was like, it doesn't smell. You're crazy.
It'll
and
I'm
like,
anything.
It's disgusting. Yeah. No. So I could not, I don't think I barely cooked my whole, we ate out. We like, this is what I mean by like, it was turned around real quick. And this is where I really had to work on my mindset around food and control. And is it possible to stay AIP during pregnancy? I am sure it is.
Yeah, I'm sure there's someone out there that's done it. And
there are plenty of blog posts, but do I think it's helpful? No. Will you get nutrients? Sure. Can you get nutrients eating whatever you need to eat? Sure. I am a huge proponent. This is exactly the same advice I gave Morgan, that your cravings are what your body needs.
Yeah. Yep.
You need to eat. So if that's all you can stomach, I'd much rather you eat whatever it is that you have or want than not. But does that mean, let's just say, for example, I have been gluten-free for 10 years. Am I just going to say F it and go get a baguette and like live my Parisian life? No. I did not need at this point to have gluten back in my life. If I craved it and I wanted it, would I have experimented with it? Totally. Like, I wasn't restricting myself in that manner, but like gluten-free bread, I've just grown to like, so I had that, like it wasn't a big deal. Or dairy-free ice cream all the time, like a ton. But did I also have regular ice cream? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the healthiest mindset into pregnancy I could have in with food, was my body needs what it wants and it's going to, I can only eat so much, A, and B, I throw up after every meal, so like I might as well eat something good, that not even good as in like healthy, but like that tastes good coming
right up.
So it was a lot of smoothies, it was a lot, I'm not gonna lie, I had a lot of gluten-free pizza, I had a lot of sandwiches, I did have a lot of deli meat, which I know you're not supposed to, and don't tell Bobby because he doesn't listen, so it's fine. He was so against it.
hilarious.
Because, you know, he's a rule follower. Yeah. But I'm like, I need a turkey sandwich.
I'll never forget you telling me, like, I've eaten deli meat this entire time.
He doesn't know. I literally had to hide it from him. But
that's funny. Oh. But that's what you wanted in, like, I don't know. I just know you so were, funny. You had.
I was wild. And but that was hard. Like the whole diet part during pregnancy, I think really throws you for a loop. I also had gestational diabetes. So I had to watch I was diagnosed very early in my pregnancy because of PCOS. They tested me, I think, at like 10 weeks. Oh, wow. So I never got to even take the drink. Oh, I just did. Yeah. I did the finger pricks for like a week. And they were like, yeah, okay, like you have it.
Oh my gosh.
So I did. And I ended up towards the end of my pregnancy needing insulin. But anyway, this is not Chelsea's story. This is what you should do during pregnancy. So I am a huge believer in following your cravings are what you need.
Yeah.
Do you need to sit there and eat a whole bag of Doritos? Sometimes. Not all the time, though. Take about let's think logically here. Take a few out, put them in a bowl, snack on them. You could always get up and get more, but like, be respectful of your body. This is not a time to just go balls to the wall and be like, I'm pregnant, I'm eating for two,
right?
Whatever. But like, you're also, your body's telling you what you need, so honor that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like for me, I know, like when I got pregnant, I had a little bit of morning sickness, not terrible, but I remember trying to eat some of the foods that I was, like coconut yogurt specifically, I remember, and eating it and like being so nauseous. And I'm like, that's just not going to fly while I'm pregnant. Like, I just can't eat that. And I remember having terrible aversions to like any type of meat that was being cooked in our house. Like, I couldn't even be in the house. So, but Casey did a lot of the cooking. He made a lot of the meals. We ate out as well, because that to me, fast food, like, it's weird. I had aversions to like meat, but like a burger from a fast food place, like Five Guys, is what I craved.
Yeah.
But like, we didn't cook it, so it didn't bother me. And I remember like Chomp beef sticks were, that was like the only meat that I was like, yeah, I can eat these, like these,
yeah,
so I don't know, it's a weird time when you're pregnant and you're trying to like navigate those cravings and also those food aversions. Like, there's just a lot of different like signals I feel like happening with your sensory perception going on as far as food goes. And I think, like you said, listening to your body and what it's trying to tell you is helpful. And I don't feel like there's any like right or wrong answer here as far as what you should or shouldn't eat. I don't. I think that you are a grown adult. Like, you can make your decisions. If you can stay like on a diet, like, or whatever you were eating before you got pregnant and like that still works for you, great. If not, like, you're just going to have to find foods that maybe you don't get sick to, or, you know, that nourish your body. And like, maybe it's finding, you know, if you can't keep things down, maybe it's finding some type of protein powder you can add into a smoothie or add into something to make sure that you are getting that protein that maybe you're missing because you can't eat meat.
Yeah. Right now. Ugh, me.
I think it's no.
During pregnancy,
like,
was so bad.
It's like, why me? I don't know. It's weird, but it's the strangest thing.
One of my dear friends is in her early pregnancy, and she had morning sickness for like a week, and now she's just like in the ravenous phase. Like, I need food at all times, and if I don't get it, I'll be nauseous, kind of part.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you lucky, you know what? Yeah. Like, she's eating pizza, she's eating chicken parm, she like whatever she wants, she's eating, which is amazing. And I'm so happy, like, I'm so happy, so happy for them. But I'm like, I literally lived off cheese, like, that's it.
Cheese
smoothies, because smoothies, tip advice, ding ding ding, for those who have morning sickness or hyperemesis, or you just having a rough time, smoothies taste the same going in and out. And really helpful. Like that, once I found that out, I was like, oh, not bad. Okay.
This is all true. Yeah.
So a lot of protein shakes, a lot of smoothies, a lot of F it moments where I'm like, I'm getting Chinese and whatever happens, happens. I will say though, and then this is going to sound gross, but I have to share it because I need you to know, don't, if you have hyperemesis or you have morning sickness, don't eat rice. Mm. Don't do it to yourself. Not a fun experience.
I imagine that, just like getting, stuck. I don't know why.
Like, not stuck. It's just like, you feel it's like clumpy. Like, it's just not a good time. Don't do it. No rice. Like, obviously if you want to have it, but like, I'm just giving you a heads up. Not a fun time in the toilet. But yeah, so morning sickness with dietary restrictions too, though. So like I said, I stayed gluten-free, the whole time, but I actually get a lot of messages from women and have in the past when I was talking about my pregnancy, asking me like, how did you do it? All I want is bread. And I said, if that's what you need right now, I'm like, that's up to you. Like, you have it.
Yeah,
that's fine. Bread and butter. Like, I get it. For me, it was, I craved gluten-free bread because that's what I've had for so long. But you're also so like, good, like I said, I give permission. When you're pregnant, your body is changing so much. You are doing so much. Like, you're literally building a human being. Organs, bones, skin, brain.
It's crazy.
Still wild. But your body needs energy to sustain that. And it's telling you what it needs. And this is where I kind of say, let it go. Like, do what you need to do. There's no rules. You can like one piece of bread every day is not going to make your Hashimoto's
everything off. It's not. I mean,
during pregnancy.
Right. During pregnancy, it's not.
Before pregnancy, like, after pregnancy, we're talking about pregnancy right now. Yeah. But, you know, your body does typically go into remission during pregnancy, commonly, not always. I've seen people get diagnosed during pregnancy, but typically you do go into remission. Why? Because you're either medicated the correct amount for you and pregnancy, and your body has to concentrate all of its energy and time on making this beautiful baby. So it doesn't really entertain the thing it thinks is foreign tissue in your thyroid for that time being. So
isn't that kind of wild? Because I did notice like some of my, because I had dairy. I think I had soy during my pregnancy. I probably even had gluten during some of my pregnancy. And I remember like thinking that like my hands weren't swollen. And I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
But I remember you saying too, you telling me like, you might notice this, this, or this. And sure enough, like I did notice it. Now, I mean, I still had some small reactions to it. Like, it didn't ever make my stomach feel great, but I did notice like just my hands, and like, I didn't have headaches from the food. So I don't know. It's a weird time. And I think your body's just, it's working so hard.
Yeah.
It's working so hard to make your baby, but to just keep that in mind though. So if you don't feel guilty or like you wrecked everything, if you are eating something that maybe you weren't eating before, you know?
Yeah. You need to do what you need to do. And there's, I think we are looking for this set of rules for life, and I just don't think there are any.
Yeah.
You gotta satisfy yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally with nutrients that your body needs and wants. So if that's what it needs and wants right now, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. But yeah, I just think that we like to complicate things, and you do not need to be on a diet while you're pregnant, unless obviously prescribed by your doctor or there's some other complication. You know, I had gestational diabetes, but I personally did not really change my diet.
I was going to ask you if that changed anything, but were you doing insulin?
Not the whole time. Towards the end, I was on insulin. Okay. And which I felt like a failure during that. That's a whole other time, because I was like, I'm a dietitian, why do I need insulin? And then it all, you know, I constantly need to remind myself, anyone can get gestational diabetes. It, it has nothing to do with how healthy you eat or not. But so what I really did was I kind of just, if I wanted something that was typically higher in sugar or carbs, I just had something with protein with it.
Okay.
That does not work for everyone, but that is called food pairing. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to get. I mean, listen, my blood sugars were high every morning, my whole pregnancy, no matter what I did, no matter what I ate, didn't eat. If I had a snack before bed, if I didn't, it was high always, and not high by like a lot. Like I think that I had to be 90 and below or 100 and below. And I was at like 120
okay
in the mornings. And it, and I'm really proud of myself for this, but I worked really hard during my pregnancy not to let food or like these kinds of things take over. So what I mean by that is when I was diagnosed with gestational diabetes, there were two options, right? One was follow this diet to a T, stress out about it, and like constantly think about food. And I have just come from 28 years of doing that, and I just don't have it in me anymore at this point to have my life revolve around that. And I decided, you know what, I have some knowledge on it. I'm going to do what I can do to make sure that I'm getting what I need when I need it, but also leaning into my cravings that's allowed and my wants and needs. You know, I have chocolate every day. I'm still going to have it, but I'm going to be smart about it. Instead of having just a handful of chocolate chips, which would spike my blood sugar, I'm going to have, like, I would snack on chicken when I finally, the aversion went away, and have some chocolate chips, or I would take a scoop of hummus and have like be conscious about
like what you were
having it,
on, like what you were
right. Instead of being like, I need to be on a low carb diet, which is not true with gestational diabetes, guys, you carbs are necessary. Yeah. Your doctor also should not be providing any nutrition advice. They take one nutrition class. One.
Yeah. Ask them for a recommendation, like find a dietitian.
There are plenty of great gestational diabetes dietitians on Instagram that have programs, very affordable, and just are really kind and sweet and are realistic. And I think that's what's important during pregnancy, is you need realistic convenience stuff. All right, we all got lives, whether this is your first child, not second child, fourth child, 10th child, which God bless your soul, which is something I never say, but like, whoo, I don't know how you do that. But you know, sometimes I just had to, like, it's going to sound very woo woo, but like surrender, just say, I have it. I want to enjoy this. I'm going to be conscious of it, but I'm not going to let it control me. And that's the same thing I did with breastfeeding too. And honestly, I feel like it's just been such a wonder, made it that much more wonderful at that point of my pregnancy and postpartum, that like, I just don't want to care so much, in not in a bad way, but like, I just, like, I'm going to let it happen.
You don't want to like obsess over it or control everything you're doing in your life, because postpartum is like a whole nother beast that we could get into as well. Like I feel like my hunger was like off the charts at like postpartum. Yep. Breastfeeding, taking care of a child, all the healing your body is doing, like that giant wound inside your uterus that you're trying to heal. Like, I just felt like I was eating nonstop, but because I was starving and I was just hungry, and like, it's so hard to like not get caught up in everything you're trying to do as a new mom, and making sure that you're providing yourself with like nutrients is so important, and such a, like a key, I think, to healing, to having like a sustained breast milk supply, keeping sane in this whole thing. Like you just don't know what to expect. I was not expecting to feel like I did. And like a snack cart was my greatest idea ever. Like breast pump, snacks, water, electrolyte drinks, like I had it all and it was there. So in the middle of the night, like just open up a snack, eat while I'm breastfeeding or pumping, like whatever I was doing, it was there. It was convenient. And I think a lot of that as a new mom, like convenience is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
It was for me.
you know, I know like immediately postpartum is such a survival period of life. Like, I don't remember it for the most part. I don't know about you, but I think I blacked out for a lot of it. Okay, or I just wasn't awake.
I just remember crying. Like, like just being like, I just love this little baby so much. And like, I also don't have any idea what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's great. I don't know. It was such a, yeah, it's a weird experience. It's great, but it's also.
And you are starving. Now, some people aren't. Some people have the opposite experience where they're just like not hungry at all. And it's one of those things where, and not everyone breastfeeds either, which is totally cool. And it's one of those experiences where you're that initial hormone shift and healing that dinner plate size wound inside your body from your placenta takes energy. And this is why I think we get into a postpartum flare with Hashimoto's, is because your body just spent, what, 9 months plus whatever weeks postpartum fixing your body, right? Growing the baby, now healing your wound. Now it's like, oh, this foreign object is back, right? Like, let's attack it. And it goes hard because it has had all this time to not worry about it. And now it's coming right back. And as far as diet goes for that, you know, immediately postpartum, like Morgan said, snacks were your best friend, because you now have this baby who is up every 2 hours.
They need you nonstop.
Right. And you need a, like a quick energy supply, whether you're breastfeeding or not, like you need to be able to sustain energy and heal yourself. Then a few months later, it's very common to get this postpartum flare, which we'll talk about in another episode, like all the details about it. But you kind of got to go back to square one, which is really hard to grasp as far as diet and nutrition goes. After you just had this like wild experience and you like don't have the time to worry about it. And so what I did was I kind of just like went back to what I was eating before, not AIP, but like meat, vegetables, rice, potato, like the things I was just eating that were like fine before. And that was helpful. Again, I didn't want to stress over it. And one thing I did postpartum was we asked my mom, who was with us, to help us. I said, can you handle dinners for the first month?
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice.
And so like I gave her recipes, a list of things that like I enjoy, but I said, like, have fun, go for it. Like, just make sure it's, I was just gluten-free at that point. And she took care of it. And this is goes back to asking for help, which is in another episode that we just recorded right before this. But you know, it's I also did have a few things in the freezer prepped that I did while I was pregnant, which is helpful. Not a lot though. But you just gotta, I think the motto is you just gotta sustain yourself with foods that make you feel good, but also give you energy. And balance and like, your blood sugars and help, you know.
I was gonna say, don't be afraid to like have foods that you enjoy, like ice cream or chocolate. Like, those are okay, and I feel like everybody enjoys those things in life, or some type of like sweet. Like, give yourself that.
And I don't think you need to diet postpartum. I say, and this is just based on research and now I guess personal experience, but it takes like a year really for things to get somewhat normal inside and outside of your body. And I genuinely cannot fathom the thought of like being on a diet
right now.
And like I won't, like I don't think I'm going to diet necessarily again in my life unless something happens, just because of my experience now into this more intuitive world and leaning into like my hunger cues and things like that. But I just, you know, the old part of me is still there. Like, I get it. And of course we want to lose weight and you want to go back to your pre-baby body, but I just think that that expectation is really unrealistic. And this is another case scenario where I just said, I'm surrendering, whatever is meant. Like, I just need to make sure that I'm alive and healthy and the baby's alive and healthy. And at the end of the day, I can get a gold star if those two things are done. And like, what's going to happen otherwise? Of course I have fun. I live life. I work. I have a life.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta, and I just, it's not something that's a priority to me. And I know I'm maybe rare or the mindset is different, but I find that the more I concentrate on things that I don't like about my body, the harder it is to change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like when I obsess or like think about how I don't like something, I feel like it just makes it 10 times worse. And it doesn't help anything when I usually do that. So trying to find a healthy mindset around food, and whether you're pre-pregnancy, trying to conceive, in your pregnancy, postpartum, any of those stages of life, I think having just a healthy mindset is like truly the key, and working on that aspect of it, I think you'll see improvements overall on how you view your diet and what you're eating.
Yeah. It just has to be, sorry, my family chat is like popping off right now. So I'm just trying to silence that.
Yeah, you're good.
And this is where multitasking mom brain comes into play. Cause I listened to everything you said, but I also typed something out. So I don't know how that happened, but anyway, yeah, diet is a very tricky thing. And a lot of us have been doing it for years. And what I mean, when I'm saying diet right now, I mean like going on a diet, like you're intentionally trying to follow rules of some sort, and not just like diet as in sustaining life.
Right.
And it just, I don't like the term it gets to be easy here, because I don't think it does. I think you get to discover what works for you, and that's going to change with your lifestyle changes. You know, like,
yeah.
I go through phases where all I want is to honestly eat like crap. And what like crap to me is like crap different to you. Mm-hmm. And I don't label foods as good or bad anymore, but there's definitely foods that I know don't make me feel the best.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That I still have, and not every day sometimes, but you know, like those are the things that I guess I would say have been the hardest food relationship wise for me. And I don't know about you, Morgan, but like the foods were like, before I was like strictly, no, like I can't have cheese, I'm lactose intolerant, or I can't have this, I'm whatever, or the paleo rules say X, Y, and Z. And like, guys, I had a Doritos yesterday. Like you know, like sometimes
I had taco salad I made, and it was so good. I enjoyed that meal so much. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, it's like, it's okay. Like not everything's going to be destroyed because I had some crushed Doritos in my taco salad. Like,
right.
It was amazing. Right.
Yeah. And and you know, Morgan and I have both worked together and separately on our relationship with food. And this is why I say, and I'll say it again, you gotta work on that. Because for us to get to the point where it's okay to have some things that previously would, like, I would cry, like I would feel like an a-hole.
I'd feel like a failure. That's how I feel. I'd be like, oh, I totally just
ruined it all.
Messed this entire thing up. I have to start all over. That's how I envisioned it in my head. And like, that's such a,
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Spent so much time doing that. Even when I was on AIP, the second, oh my God, I had rice. I had a potato. Like I needed a potato. I love potatoes. And I was like, you can't believe you did that. You're an a-hole. Like you ruined it. You might as well go off the handle now, go get what you want. Like,
it's so crazy because those foods can provide you like great nutrients.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, like we said before, like those, you may be sensitive to a lot of those foods right now, but it doesn't mean forever. And pre-pregnancy, pregnancy, and postpartum are all different phases of your life and are all different phases of your baby's life. And I don't know about you, but I just want to be present and enjoy Ellie's life. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes looks like eating a salad, but also eating out, having chocolate, like whatever works for you is going to be it. We don't have a list of foods that we're like, you need this during pregnancy. No.
You have to cut this out. Like that's never.
If anyone does give that to you, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, and we keep saying this, you know your body better than anyone. Mm-hmm. Listen to it. It's very smart.
Yep.
We spent a lot of time learning to ignore it. Now's the time to listen to it.
Yeah. Claps and snaps.
thank you.
And yeah.
But with that being said, we love you. We appreciate you. We're here for you. We know this isn't easy stuff, but like I said before, we just want to be realistic and give you the real. And if you have questions, comments, anything, you can either pop them below in a review or reach out to us on the Make a Baby with Hashimoto's podcast Instagram page or wherever you can find us. We will answer. We're here for you. We care about you. We're proud of you. And if you have any questions, let us know.
Happy to help.
Yes. And we will catch you in the next one. Bye, guys.